Welcome to the People and Projects Podcast, where you'll find interviews and insights to help you deliver projects and lead teams. You can find us on the web at peopleandprojectspodcast.com. Hi, this is Andy Kaufman, President of the Institute for Leadership Excellence and Development Corporate. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the People and Projects Podcast. Hey, just a quick note, this episode is sponsored by the Star East 2011 Conference. Star East is the premier gathering place for software testers, developers, and managers to interact and learn how to improve software testing practices. This year's lineup features over 100 learning and networking opportunities. Come join me for a new keynote at Star East this year. It's entitled, How to Win Friends and Influence People and Deliver Quality Software. I look forward to seeing you there. You know, one of the real pleasures of my job is to help project managers get their project management professional certification. For years, I personally procrastinated in getting my own PMP certification. And perhaps that's your story as well. Or maybe you're just wondering, would it make sense for you to get one? On this episode, I talk with Cornelius Fichtner, the venerable host of the Project Management Podcast, about issues related to PMP certification. If you're considering getting certified or in the process of preparing right now, this interview is especially for you. I'm joined again today by Cornelius Fichtner, PMP. Many of you know Cornelius as the host of the Project Management Podcast, which has been the leading PM podcast since he started it in 2005. Cornelius has led projects for a management consulting company, a national retailer, an internet startup company, and for one of the oldest financial service providers in the U.S. His passions really come down to project management methodologies and PMOs, as well as a passion for helping project managers earn their PMP certification, which is our focus in today's cast. So, Cornelius, thank you for joining us again for the People and Projects Podcast.
Hey, Andy. Thanks for having me. Pleasure to be back.
It is a pleasure to have you. You know, I got my PMP back in 2005. When did you get yours? Was it 2004?
Yeah, it was 2004. March, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, I just kept putting it off. I mean, maybe it was part procrastination, but part the rebel in me that just felt like, hey, you know, I know my stuff. I don't need the blessing of some organization like PMI to show that I can do it. And yet, I eventually buckled up and got it done. So I'm wondering, were you a rebel or a procrastinator regarding your certification? And what are some of the top reasons you've heard people give for not getting certified?
Yeah, well, in my particular case, I lived in a country where the PMP certificate, you know, up to 2004, 2005 was pretty much unknown or, you know, not used. It wasn't necessary for you to have that particular certification. I lived in Switzerland at the time, and I did get a certification in a similar field. It wasn't exactly called project management there, to show that I can lead projects. However, in 2003, I came to the USA, and, you know, in about March or so, I decided, you know what, I need to do this. Everybody here is talking about the PMP certification in the US. I need to get it. So within the next, you know, 8-9 months, I studied and took my exam almost immediately. So it wasn't procrastination. It just wasn't needed at the time. And today, this is still the case in Commonwealth countries, because if you are in a Commonwealth country, Prince 2 is the leading certification that you need. So I completely understand if people, you know, in England say, what do I need the PMP for? Everybody's doing project management over here based on the Prince 2 methodology. So that's what I need. Completely understandable. Mm-hmm. Then what I also hear is people, you know, who are the expert in a specific field, and they say, I am so well known, I simply don't need it. As an example, Quentin Fleming. Quentin Fleming is the gray eminence, the man to go to when we are talking about earned value management. Everybody knows him for that. And he works on the PMBOK guide. He was in charge of procurement as well. He was in charge of the cost section for the 2004 and 8 PMBOK guide. And he really doesn't know the PMP exam because people know him, people respect him. So if you are at that kind of a level of recognition, name recognition. You don't need the P&P exam. Also, some people who are self-employed don't really need it because, you know, they are the business owner, they are at the top of the company. It does definitely look better, you know, as they are going to a customer, but they don't really need it. But the number one thing that I have heard over time is, I don't have enough time to do this. You know, yeah. It takes such a long time to prepare and get ready. And, you know, I have work to do and I have a family. And then one thing happens. They lose their job.
Right.
And the moment they lose their job, you know, they suddenly have the time and they decide, you know what? This is the moment. Now I have the time. Now I have the incentive to go and take my P&P exam. So those are kind of the reasons why people say I don't really need the P&P behind my name.
I see this a lot where people say, well, I lost my job, but now I don't have the money to pay for it because you can throw a lot of money at it, right? I mean, the exam itself.
Oh, yeah.
There are certainly materials. You can spend thousands or boot camps, many, many thousands. But so then people will come down and say, Cornelius, is it worth it? And so when someone comes up to you and says, is it worth that time? Is it worth the financial investment? I don't know. What's your take on that?
Ha. What do you mean by worth is my first question I have to ask. Are we talking about salary? Are we talking about recognition in the field? Are we talking about self-esteem? Or are we talking about worth when you're looking for a job? So let's take a look at these four items. Salary, right? Is it worth getting the P&P? Do you get more salary because of it? According to PMI research, yes, you do. And don't quote me on this, but I believe the last time I looked at their research, it was $10,000 difference. So if you are a project manager who does not have the P&P exam, you make, let's take a number, $50,000. If you have the P&P exam, you would make $10,000 more on average. But that doesn't mean that, you know, you work for company X today, you earn your P&P certificate, tomorrow you walk into your boss's office and you say, I want 10 grand more.
Right. Yeah.
That's not how it works, right? Yeah. You usually have to, you know, leave the company, find a new position, and then you can move up in the financial ladder, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Recognition. It's very interesting, but when you are a member of PMI and you join PMI dinner meetings and all that, somehow PMPs are, I don't know, recognized. Mm-hmm. In my chapter, every month when we have the dinner meeting and there is a question, who has passed their P&P exam last month? You know, they stand up, there's a big round of applause. We, in our chapter, we even give them a present. They get a mug.
Nice.
Coffee mug. You know, it's the most expensive coffee mug they ever received.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like you said, anywhere from $1 to $2,000 worth.
Coffee mug. Right, exactly.
So there is a recognition in the profession, within project managers, no understanding, you know, this is a tough exam that you have passed and, you know, you are now one of the club, kind of. And at the same time, you know, it also does raise your self-esteem. I was very satisfied when I got my P&P because I knew, okay, and I'm one of the crowd, it opens more doors, I have a certification that is recognized around me, so my self-esteem rose. Did it make me a better project manager? Not necessarily. But it gave me a better understanding of the language, the tools and techniques, and everything that goes with it. Well, and finally, the fourth worth job search. If you go to any job website these days and you look for project management jobs, very likely, you know, if you had done this 2-3 years ago, it would have said P&P preferred. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, it says P&P required. So from a point of view of looking for a job, it's almost a must-have these days.
One of the things that was the impetus for me to actually go and do it was most of what I do is keynotes on project management leadership and workshops. And eventually it became a credibility thing because you know, I don't have Quentin's name, you know, and with a name like Andy Kaufman, I'm a dead comedian, right? You know, it actually eventually was something I had to have that check mark. But interestingly, I learned stuff. You know, and by going through the process, I actually did learn as well. And so, So I found that I think, you know, I've heard some people discount the salary thing because it was a PMI sponsored sort of survey. But still, you know, I do know PMPs that have been paid more and they do get their recognition, all those reasons you said. And we can learn more too. Yeah. So, you know, let's say someone's listening to us and they've certainly probably not just because of what we're saying here, but they've made the decision. I'm going to get it. They might be thinking, all right, what am I getting myself into? And we could argue that getting certified is a project, right? It's a temporary endeavor, that we're going to deliver something on the other side of it. So if it was a project, we thought of from that perspective, what's a high level overview from your perspective, Cornelius, of what this project looks like?
Okay. I recently wrote a series of articles for CIO.com exactly looking at that. And let me try to kind of summarize this. Okay. So first, you have to assess your eligibility. Figuring out, can I even take this exam? Because there are certain prerequisites that you must fulfill. For instance, if you have a bachelor's degree, you must have led projects for at least 4,500 hours. Mm-hmm. So you have to be able to prove that and show that that's done. So once you have established, oh yes, I am eligible. I always have problems pronouncing this word. Anyway, so if I do have the prerequisites, let's do it this
way. That's a good way.
Then you can go ahead and you can apply. So you go online, you fill in your application. Now, once you are approved by PMI, you have 1 year to take the exam. You can take it three times. You take it the first time, unfortunately, you fail. You can take it a second time. You can take it a third time. And that's the time you have, 12 months. So my recommendation then is, once you get the approval from PMI, get a plan. Mm-hmm. Make yourself a plan. How often do I study? What do I study? Is it something I can only do on the weekends? Is it something I can do every day? And if it's something I do every day, how much do I read every day? What do I look at? So, be a project manager. Turn this into a project. Open up your project management software and put in the tasks and, follow up on what you're supposed to be doing. Of course, then you got to go out and you got to buy your materials. You got to figure out, what do I want to do? Do I want to do this in self-study? Do I want to join a local study group? Does my PMI chapter maybe offer an in-person classroom-based PMP exam prep? They're usually the most, the least expensive ones that you can find. Or do I simply want to, buy an online course or something that I download to my portable device? Something like that. Then next, study. There's no way around that. Study. You got to read all the materials. You got to read the PMBOK guide two or three times. And once you get into the study habit, you have to begin practicing the exam by using sample questions. You can go out and you find hundreds and hundreds of free questions out there, and you can, begin to assess your readiness by looking at, okay, how am I doing with answering these questions? Then you have to get prepared for your exam day. For instance, I always recommend people, 2 weeks before your actual exam day happens, go to your facility. Go check it out. Drive there. If your exam is on Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, drive there Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. See what the traffic is like. Make sure that you get there. Talk to the people there. Tell them you're here in 2 weeks. You just want to look around and just get a feel for the place. Those kind of things. You have to get ready. Or, even the question of what am I going to wear on exam day?
Yeah.
That's an important thing. You don't want to show up in extremely tight jeans. And then when you sit down, you're going to go, oh my God, this is tight. That would be very
happens
bad.
Happens to me all the time, Cornelius.
Oh yeah. Or you're wearing a t-shirt that has a tag in the neck and then it scratches you for 4 hours and you're sitting there going, this is driving me nuts, right? Well, yeah, and then you take the exam that just 4 hours, 200 questions, and hopefully at the end you'll see, success. Thank you. Congratulations, you passed. And then it doesn't end because the PMP exam is a certification that is valid for 3 years. And in 3 years, you have to recertify. Don't worry. Don't have to take the exam again, but you have to earn what is known as professional development units. There are many ways how you can do this. And let's see, as we are recording this, it is the 25th of February. Yeah. And on the 1st of March, PMI is changing the whole structure of these professional development units.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go into those, but basically... Yeah. You know, the easiest way to get those is by going to a training. Each hour of training earns you one PDU, and you have to earn 60 of those in 3 years. Not really all that difficult if you keep on top of this. I usually have my PDUs completed after 18 months at the latest.
Yeah, you just don't want to wait 2 months before you, although there are options even then to get your PDUs, but still, that's not the best way to do it for sure. But yeah, I like that. You lay it out like a project. And as with many projects in the real world, a lot of times it seems simpler, you know, from 30,000 feet, projects seem pretty straightforward, but then, you know, you get into the details. And for example, the approval process, it surprised me of, there's a lot of work going back and documenting that.
Oh, yes. It took me hours and hours and hours. I mean, some people, you know, if you are a project manager of large projects or programs, you know, you put one or two projects into your application and you're done. Me, on the other hand, my projects, small, medium-sized, 1 month to 6 months in duration, I had to put about 20 projects into this application until I had shown I have the hours needed, right? So it all depends on your personal background and experience.
Yeah, that's good. So if you think about these phases that Cornelius has laid out, it's a really good way to think about, well, how long is it going to take me to get this and what do I need to do? And there are so many options available when it comes to the study materials. I can think of a guy who, he's a really good project manager, Cornelius. What he told me he was going to do was he was going to read the PMBOK guide cover to cover. He did it over and over and over, and he didn't pass because that's all he studied. And I've sent a lot of project managers to your PM PrepCast product. I think it's,
thank you. Yeah.
Well, it's a great product and a tremendous value and very convenient. But, you know, eventually, like you said, you have to get to the questions also. And I have found, you mentioned that there are a lot of them that are out there for free. You can also pay for some, whether it's in books and on the internet. But some are actually not all that helpful. Like every once in a while, in fact, somehow this group of people over in Europe start sending me these questions of like, Andy, we can't answer these questions. We don't know. Can you give us a reference to these questions? The more I looked at it, it's like the reason they're struggling is they're just lousy questions. I mean, they're and not only poorly written, but not representative of what people would see on the exam. So, you know, as we've got people going out there and thinking about this, aspiring PMPs, how would you say, Cornelius, that they could judge whether or not these are good questions, really helping them to prepare?
That's a very difficult question to answer because free questions only go so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you said, there are extremely poorly written questions out there, but there's also the other extreme. Mm-hmm. There is, for instance, Oliver Lehmann. He offers two sets, 75 and 175 questions of incredible questions. If you are able to answer those questions by Oliver, you can be certain that you will pass the PMP exam almost because they are so tough, so well written. They are a challenge even to trainers like myself. And also I offer some free questions on the web, you know, and I put a lot of thought into them. But like you said, not everybody is like that, right? So if you are looking at free questions, you know, try to determine, you know, are they at least based on the most current PMBOK guide?
Yeah.
If it doesn't say on the website where you are, it's very easy to find out because between the last and the current PMBOK guide, the names of the processes, pretty much every process name changed. Try to find in the questions, in the answers or the question text itself, look for names of processes. And if the names of the process that they use in the question doesn't match the current PMBOK guide, forget those questions. Yeah. Move on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Try to figure out when were they last updated? You know, are they like 25 years old? Do the questions have 4 or 5 answers? In a very, very long time ago, PMP exam questions had 5 answers, A, B, C, D, E. Today, there are only 4 answers, A, B, C, D. So if you see questions with 5 answers, don't even bother, right? That's not to look at. And then there is one rule that you can follow in regards to, you know, am I ready? Has nothing to do with the quality of the questions. That has more to do with, are you capable of taking what you have learned, the theory, and applying it to the questions? So keep a spreadsheet. I even have a score sheet for that. It's in Excel, really simple. But keep track of all the questions you answer. You know, today I answered 20 questions and I had 17 correct. You know, how much is that in percent? And the rule of thumb is, if over time you see that you are answering 85% of the questions correctly, then you can begin to assume that you are ready for the exam. There's only one caveat.
Yeah.
It only counts the first time you answer the question. So, you know, you take the exam today, 20 questions, you have 3 correct. Whoa, right? Then you do it again tomorrow. Well, of course, you'll have about 19 correct because you remember the answers.
Let's hope so.
You know? Yeah. On the P&P exam, you don't get that second chance. So it's only the first time that you go through questions. That's when the 85% rule counts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. And that also has implications on the pool of questions you can draw from then. Because if you only have 20, you know, that's not going to help you. Yeah, you have had some offline discussions about your new P&P exam simulator product that's launching on March 25th of this year. How would you say this offering is different from other exam question offerings that are on the market?
Frankly, I hope it isn't different.
Yeah.
And the reason for this is this. We all call our products P&P exam simulators. So what every one of these products is trying to do is to mimic the P&P exam as closely as possible, right? So if there are major differences between these simulators, then we as an industry have a problem, right?
Yeah.
But they have to be as closely related to each other and to the P&P exam as possible. You know, of course, every one of them offers the same thing. You know, you practice under test conditions, you prepare in a realistic environment. By this, you know, you learn how to manage your exam time effectively, you gain confidence, you can reduce your study time. By going through this, you learn how to apply test taking strategies, you know, eliminate the first and the last question because they're obviously throwaways, so they're only left. So which one is correct, right? And by going through them, you confirm that you're improving. And at the end, you know, okay, I'm now ready to take the exam. That's, you know, every single P&P exam simulator must offer this. Where they do differ is, you know, in the quality of the questions, in the number of questions, in the features that they offer outside the pure exam simulation. For instance, our simulator has, yes, the you know, 4-hour 200 question exam simulated, shown like it is in the real exam. But we also give you the opportunity, you know, if you're over lunchtime, you just want to take a 10 question exam, you know, you can go in and say, okay, I want 10 at random. You know, you can do this. So there are certain features that every simulator offers that are different. We also offer the opportunity to have questions only by a certain knowledge area. I'm a bit weak on scope. You know, I'd like to take an exam just on scope. Okay, take 50 questions just on scope. Right. So those are kind of the differences. Also, you have to look into, you know, the trust that you have in the company. You know, is it an industry? Is it a company that is known in the industry? Are they a PMI registered education provider? And I also would look at their website. Some of the websites out there that offer P&P exam simulators, they still use blinking text and are very aggressive. And I look at this page and I'm thinking, why would anybody want to buy from this website? Because it looks so unprofessional. You know, this is a professional exam, and this looks like, you know, my 13-year-old cousin had designed the website. I do not know what the actual quality is of the product that's behind it. But, you know, just the first impression that you get, you know, you have to look into this as well. So our exam simulator, 1,800 questions. And what we also realized is many people are afraid of these ITTO questions. Which of the following is not an input to the Create WBS process? So what we did is 1,600 of the questions are, you know, regular exam questions. And then we added 200 more, just ITTO. Yeah. So you can take a full 4-hour exam where we just ask you, okay, what are the inputs to this? Which output is missing here? So really, you can focus on the ITTOs right there.
Yeah, that's nice. What's your price point for the exam simulator?
Oh, we have two price points. The first price point is zero. Yeah, we offer nice. We offer free access.
Yeah.
So you can get a 3-day access to about 60 questions for free. I hope to increase that number over time so that in the end it'll be a full 200 question exam. But as we are launching right now, it's 60 questions for free. And then the real simulator where you get the 1,800 questions, that is 90-day access for $90. Well, yeah. To be precise, 90-day access for $89.99.
Right, yeah, that is very consistent with your other products. And it's, I mean, for people that have looked at this and are listening, they know you can spend much, much more than that.
That's actually one of the number one questions that I get.
Yeah.
From people, you know, why are your products so inexpensive? And the reason for this is we're a small company. We don't have an overhead of, you know, 30 trainers that go out into the field and you know, we have to pay their salaries month after month. Plus, we have customers from all over the world.
Yeah.
For somebody in the United States, if they see the price of our products, they're going to go, something's wrong with this price, because if I compare this to another American company, they're charging me 4 or 5 times as much. But if you look at somebody from India, South Africa, China, to them, you know, $100 course is an investment. So we try to find a price point that is somewhere in the middle there, you know, that it's still okay for people to pay, even if they come from low-income countries.
Yeah. Well, I just know firsthand that there are a lot of people that have benefited. And I know you could charge more, Cornelius, but, you know, it is one of those things that's making a big difference. You know, one last question. I've heard some aspiring PMPs express concern about the changes that are coming in late August on the exam, August 2011. Based on your analysis, what PMI has told us, what changes should people expect, and how does that impact how they should prepare?
Okay. If you are a PMP prep student and you're currently studying for it, or you're planning on studying for it, you should not worry about this at all. It's not your job to worry about it. It's my job to worry about it as an education provider. Okay. So all the companies out there that give you training materials, they have to make sure that their training materials are up to speed for the new rules. So all that you should do as a student is contact your provider and say, are your materials up to the new PMI exam blueprint? You know, that's the only question that you have to ask them. And they should tell you, yes, they are. And then you can move forward in confidence. So let's take a look at, you know, what is and what is not changing.
Yeah.
First of all, the PMBOK guide isn't changing. The PMBOK guide is still the same PMBOK guide until December 31st, 2012, right? So there is no change there. The exam format isn't changing. So it's still a computer-based exam. You have 4 hours, 200 questions, no change there. At the end of the exam, you will receive a score report. That score report is also not changing. So that there is no change there in, you know, the administration, the formality of the PMP exam. Yeah. The eligibility requirements, there we go again with that word. The eligibility requirements aren't changing at all. The educational experience, the hours that you need to have worked as a project manager, still the same, no change at all. You know, the first thing that changes is that the 31st of August 2011, that's the drop dead date. The exam changes on this date. If you take the exam before, you take the quote unquote old exam. If you take the exam on the 31st or after, you take the new exam, period, no exceptions, right? So that's the drop dead date. And the big thing that will actually change is, and I agree with PMI on this, professional responsibility, you know, ethics, so far has always been tested as a separate domain. What they realized is that, you know, they can't be looked at separately. How can you do procurement without ethics? How can you do planning without ethics? You know, how can you do cost management without ethics? So this is all going to be integrated into the other domains, into the other knowledge areas. So professional responsibility as a separate testing area will be removed and the questions will still be there. They will just be reassigned. You know, this is an ethics question in cost. This is an ethics question in procurement. But again, as a student, you don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
It's my job as a training provider to provide you with appropriate questions, with appropriate training material to do so. And of course, that means then the content of your study material will change based on PMI changes. So again, you don't need to worry about it. You just take the updated study material and you study with the new stuff.
Yep.
That's all there is to say to it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And that'll be very helpful for people that are kind of in this mode of, man, I already bought this book and is, you know, do I have to buy another book? And you know, it seems that for the most part, they're not going to be radical changes. And so, and if someone's at that point already, it's very feasible that they could get this done before August 31st anyway. So
yeah, absolutely. If you're currently studying February, you know, you have 6 months, it should be possible. If you start, you know, on July 1st,
yeah,
you will probably not be able to get it done by August 31st. You know, that might not be enough time.
Yeah. Well, you know, Cornelius, it's a pleasure to talk with you again today. For those who are listening and you're ready to stop procrastinating like I did and get your PMP certification, I invite you to check out Cornelius's offerings, including the PM PrepCast and the PMP Exam Simulator. Links to those sites are in the show notes for the cast. And if you aren't currently a subscriber to the Project Management Podcast, why is that? Come on, I invite you to join me as a regular listener. You can find Cornelius's weekly episodes on iTunes or on the web at pm-podcast.com. Cornelius, I wish you a lot of success with this new PMP Exam Simulator product, and thank you again for joining us on the People and Projects Podcast.
Andy, thanks a lot for having me.
Make sure to check out the links in the show notes for Cornelius's PMP prep offerings, as well as the Project Management Podcast. You know, I am so excited to get such positive feedback on our new Essentials of Project Management e-learning workshop. This engaging new offering simplifies your ability to get expert insights on project management in a really convenient format. And until April 1st, 2011, we're offering a special coupon code to get 50% off the normal price for the learning. So check out the show notes for details. Well, thank you for joining us for this episode of the People and Projects Podcast. Have yourself a great week.
So, you know, you have initiation, planning, executing. What's next? So
monitoring, monitoring, controlling.
Thank you. Monitoring and controlling and closing. My God, that was the first time that I kind of had a black hole there on the forefront. Okay. And then they added the sixth domain.
You know, you give good interview there. Way to go. Thanks.
Thank you.
Very enjoyable listen to.
So if it's something that you know about and like to do, then, you know, it's easy to talk about it, especially if you print out your questions and make yourself a few notes.
Yeah, I find that helps me keep stay on track as well. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Surf, thank you for the time today. I really appreciate it.
You are very welcome.
All right.
Have a great day.
See you, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.